The scripture reading this evening will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. I will be reading from the New American Standard Version this evening. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong.
Good to be with you again tonight. We hope everyone had a good, peaceful afternoon. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Gary just read that for us. And that was Paul, and he, of course, was using sort of a military example there of how we ought to act in Christ. The ESV says, watch ye. I know the New American Standard said be on alert, obviously meaning the same thing, but watch ye. And then he said stand fast or stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And again, it has a kind of a military ring to it. Paul is picturing an army that's on the front lines. And their commander is trying to encourage his soldiers to stay strong as the army is approaching, but at first they can't even see the enemy. And so they're waiting and waiting, and as they are waiting, the commanding officer simply encourages them, exhorts them to continue to watch. And then finally they see in the distance the army of the enemy. They see the outline of the army, and they know it's going to be a huge battle that they have to engage in. And so the commander, again, just trying to encourage his men, he simply says, stand firm. And they know the inevitable is going to happen. They know that eventually they're going to be engaged in warfare. And the enemy army continues to approach, and they get closer and closer. And as they do, the commander, again, tries to encourage his men. Act like men, he says to them. And finally, again, the battle begins. And now they're about to engage in hand-to-hand combat. And so the last exhortation is simply for the men to be strong. And all of that, of course, corresponds to what we have to go through. We also know that warfare is inevitable. We know even though we don't always see the enemy, we have to watch because the enemy is indeed coming. It's only a matter of time. It is not if, but when we engage in battle. And so we need to take these words of Paul and apply them to our life. And really, 1 Corinthians 16 at verse 13 makes for a natural sermon, a four-part sermon, but I'm only interested tonight in the very first part. Watch ye. And that's what all of us need to do. We recognize the devil is alive and well. We understand again that he is going to engage us in combat. It's not a matter of if. We know that he's coming. We know that he's going to be constant and consistent in his attacks against us. That's because that's who he is. And so we need to watch. And so just for a little while, tonight, I won't keep you very long, but we want to talk about some ways, three ways that we need to be watching as Christians. We need to be diligent. We need to be alert, as the New American Standard said. Well, three things very quickly. First of all, we need to watch that we enter not into temptation. You remember, of course, the words of Jesus himself at Gethsemane. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew chapter 26, and beginning at verse 36, we'll start our reading there. Matthew chapter 26, and at verse 36. It says, and then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that is James and John, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to his disciples when he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then look at verse 41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And isn't that true, really, with all of us, at least most of us here tonight? I believe that it is true. There may be a few exceptions, but I think almost all of us here tonight are willing when it comes down to spirit. Like, we want to stay away from temptation. We want to do what is right, and we want to please God. We want to live lives that bring God glory. The spirit is willing, but it's true with all of us that the flesh is weak. And because of that, we need to be concerned about temptation. The reason the devil is able to tempt each and every one of us is because the flesh is indeed weak. Regardless of the spirit, we sometimes are weak. And so we need to do everything we can not to enter into temptation. I think about Jesus. Now, this doesn't have to do with being tempted. Listen, every single one of us are going to be tempted. There is no question about that. Because again, the devil is alive and he's active and he's trying to do everything he can to separate us from God. Even Jesus was tempted, but he never entered into temptation. And Jesus recognizes that once we find ourselves in the throes of temptation, because the flesh is weak, there's a very good possibility that we give in to the temptation. And so we should be watching that we don't enter into temptation. And the way we do that, one way that we do that is to put on the armor of God. You might remember over in Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians the 6th chapter, if we would follow the exhortation of Paul in this particular place, we can avoid entering into temptation. Yes, the devil is going to throw everything he can at us, but we can overcome him if we put on the armor of God. So let's just read this. It's passage that we're well familiar with, beginning at verse 10, Ephesians 6 and at verse 10. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the verse is 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Where have you heard that before? That's, again, we see that in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And you notice there again, be strong in the Lord. One of the ways that we overcome temptation is by recognizing our own limitations and understanding our own weaknesses. So we don't try to go it alone. We take advantage of the power of God and the strength of Jesus Christ. And Paul emphasizes that here. Be strong, not in yourself, but be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And he tells us how to do that. How do we strengthen ourselves in his might? He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And then he says, therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. That's how you keep yourself from entering into temptation. You fasten on the belt of truth. You put on, he says, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to live every day of our lives. We need to strive to be righteous, to be involved in the doing of righteousness. And that can keep us out of the throes of temptation. And he talks about the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of Christ. The King James says the preparation of the gospel. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. Fill your mind with spiritual things. Fill your mind with thoughts of heaven and salvation. You can protect your minds. Remember, I've said many times before that the mind is the first place the devil is going to attack. And that's right. You can prevent yourself from giving in to the devil by putting on that helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he says at verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. And basically, that's saying the same thing Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray. You watch by putting on the armor of God, realizing you can't beat the devil all by yourself. You need the strength of the Lord. You need to put on not some of the armor, but the whole armor of God, and then keep on praying. And if you have the armor of God on, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, you can keep yourself from the throes of temptation. But be watchful. Be alert. Be diligent. Because one thing we all can be sure of is the devil is going to attack. That's just who he is. He's not going to ever feel sorry for you. He'll have no sympathy for you no matter what happens. He's going to try to destroy you, and nothing can stop him except your resistance. When you resist the devil, James said, he'll flee. Or Peter said, he'll flee from you. And we need to do that. And so let's watch that we enter not into temptation. And there's something else we need to watch for. We need to watch against false doctrine and false teachers. We've been talking about that a lot here recently in our Thursday morning Bible class. We've talked a little bit about that in our Sunday morning, I believe, or Wednesday night. We've been talking about that, but it needs repeating. There are many false teachers out there. And in fact, that has always been the case. I'm always surprised by the passage. I've read it for you several times. But over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and at verse 17, the language of Paul continues to surprise me. Being the first century, the church is still in its infancy stage. We're just in the beginning of Christianity, really, when this is written. And yet it says, 2 Corinthians 2 at verse 17, Paul says, "For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity and commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." And that surprises me because, again, the church is really just getting started here. And yet in the first century, in the infancy of the church, there were already many, many false teachers. We're not like the many, Paul said. And we sometimes feel sorry for ourselves that we're surrounded by false doctrine and false teachers. They're really on every hand, but that really has always been the case, even in the first century. And so we don't need to feel sorry for ourselves. We need to watch. We need to be alert. We need to be careful because the devil, again, is crafty. Sometimes he even uses the guise of religion to get people to sin and to do things that aren't according to the will of God. Turn over again a few chapters later, still the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. Let's read there. Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians. Remember, he just warned them about the many false teachers. But here in chapter 11, at verse 13, he says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers or workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." That's how crafty the devil is. That's what he does. He uses religion sometimes. Not just world religions, but sometimes the religion of our Lord. And we see this when you turn on the TV. You see the TV evangelist, some powerful speaker with charisma and personality and a wonderful orator. And by the thousands, he draws people into him. He has a Bible in his hand, but it's not in his heart. He's preaching for other reasons, for different motives, but because of his personality and his ability and talent, he again, by the thousands, draws people to him, and at the same time, drawing people away from God. It's a sad situation, but it has always been the case. And so he speaks here of these false apostles. There are people today even who claim to be apostles of Christ who are not. And no wonder, now watch this, he says in verse 14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. None of this should surprise us. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Like, we know better. And to think that false teachers are going to come along and shout on the top of rooftops, I'm a false teacher and I'm trying to destroy you. Of course not. They're in disguise. And that has always, again, been the case. And so the only way we can deal with that is by being alert. We have to watch. We have to be diligent because we know that there's many out there. And I'll tell you a passage, and again, we've read it many times before, but turn over to Acts chapter 20. Here's a passage that deals with the same matter, but it's probably a little scarier, really. Acts chapter 20 and at verse 28. Acts the 20th chapter and at verse 28. It says, pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So Paul, of course, is talking to Christians. He's talking to an eldership, the elders of Ephesus. He says, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know, now watch it, it's not I think. It's not maybe. Paul says, I know. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That could be some of those false apostles that 2 Corinthians 11 was talking about. Those individuals who are in disguise. And again, they're all around us. And so we have to watch and we have to be careful. But then he says, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And that's the more scary thing. Like, I think most of us are ready. We're watching, and it'd be hard-pressed for somebody to come in from out of the world, some denominational preacher to fool us and to following some false doctrine. That does happen from time to time, by the way, especially with regard to preachers. Some preacher will listen to the writings of some popular denominational preacher or, again, some TV evangelist and be moved by his words and then take that false doctrine to the people. And sometimes that happens. But as he describes this here, there's really two levels of it. He then begins to talk about those who will arise from among us. Many commentators believe, now remember, he is speaking to the elders of Ephesus. Many think that he is talking about someone coming in, coming out of an eldership, even. But whether that be true or not, he obviously is talking about false teachers that come not from without, but who rise up from within. And sometimes we don't catch them until it's too late. Until they already have persuaded many members of a local church to believe their false doctrine, to begin to practice their false ways, and souls are lost. And so we need to watch, don't we? Watch for those who are without, but watch for those who might rise up from within. And the only way we can possibly do that is to continue to study, as Paul said, study to show ourselves approved unto God. Continue to familiarize ourselves with the true doctrine of Christ, the unperverted gospel of Christ. And so when some false teacher, whether from without or from within, comes along, we can recognize it right away because we're grounded and rooted in the faith. And that's why we encourage each and every member to study, to put time aside and search the Scriptures and read the Scriptures and meditate upon the Scriptures. Because the stronger we are individually, not just the preacher or the elders, but the stronger, the more knowledge that the entire membership has, the stronger church we will be. And the less likelihood the devil will have his way with us. So let's watch. Let's watch for these false teachers that we know, as Paul said, I know they're going to arise. We need to simply be ready for them. I'll tell you something else we should watch for. We should watch for good works. Turn your Bible over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Galatians, the 6th chapter, and this time let us begin reading at verse 9. Galatians 6 at verse 9. Paul writes, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Are you watching out for opportunities to do good? If you were in the Bible study this morning, here's the word kairos again. That's often translated time. But here it's translated opportunity. We need to watch for opportunities. How many opportunities do you miss simply because you're not alert when it comes down to the business of doing good? There are all kinds of good things we can be doing. Sometimes we miss opportunities. As Christians, every day of our life, we should be watching. We should be looking out for opportunities that we can serve God and do good. Whether it be in winning souls to Christ, we need to look for opportunities to do that, don't we? On the job or at school or wherever you are, we need to watch out for opportunity. We're surrounded by people who are lost that need saving. You take advantage of those opportunities. We need to watch for brethren who have fallen. Do what we can to restore the fallen. In fact, here in Galatians 6 at verse 1, he says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Watch for opportunities. We just don't know. Sometimes individuals who have left the faith, they can be influenced by brethren, but sometimes the situation has to be just right for someone to listen. That's true even with regard to people who are outside the body of Christ with regard to preaching the gospel. Sometimes it's just a matter of talking to somebody, encouraging somebody at just the right time. We can't know when that time is, so we need to be active. And we need to watch for those opportunities. Opportunities to visit the sick. Opportunities to visit those who are widows. Opportunities to do good. We all ought to be keeping our eyes open with regard to that. Let's watch for opportunities to do good. Of course, whenever you start thinking about the business of watching, mostly when the Bible talks about that with regard to Christians, it is talking about watching for the coming of Christ. And really, we do that by applying all of these things that we have already talked about. But we need to understand, this life can end at any time. And so we need to be watching for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Matthew. We'll read a couple of more passages. Matthew chapter 24 this time. Matthew chapter 24. At verse 42, it says, "Therefore," Matthew chapter 24 at verse 42, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Stay awake. It doesn't use the exact word, watch, but that's what it's saying, isn't it? Stay alert, stay awake, watch. Why? Because we don't know when the Lord is going to come. At verse 44, it says, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Oh, how true that is. We sometimes push that out of our minds, but it's always true. The Lord can come back at any moment. He can come back before we say our last amen here tonight. He could come back tomorrow or the next day. We don't know when. And so we need to be ready. We need to watch. That's the message of the Bible. Look over in chapter 25. We get into this familiar parable that Jesus set forth. The parable of the 10 virgins. And then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps. And they went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And I've often pointed out in preaching on this, listen, all of these virgins thought that they were ready. And not just the 5 wise ones. They all went out. Even the foolish ones, they all went out to meet the bridegroom. Why? Because they all thought they were ready. In reality, only 5, only half of them were ready. I suspect it might be that the majority of us, there might be things going on that I don't know about, but probably the majority of us all think that we're ready. We better be sure about it. We don't want to be like the 5 foolish virgins who just thought they were ready, but really they weren't. But they all went out to meet the bridegroom. And notice it says, verse 3, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. In other words, they did everything they could to be ready. They prepared for that situation. The foolish ones had some oil in their lamp, but they didn't take any extra. And they would have been all right, except for at verse 5 it says, as the bridegroom was delayed. If he wasn't delayed, they probably would have been all right. The ignorant part of it is that it was very common for bridegrooms to be delayed. It was almost customary. And so when these 5 foolish virgins didn't take extra oil, they were just ignoring the facts and what usually happened. That's why they're called foolish. But the wise ones, they had oil in their lamps, but they also brought flasks of oil with them. And so it says they all became drowsy and they slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. Now they're in trouble. They didn't prepare. They didn't watch. They weren't ready. And the cry came out, the bridegroom is coming. That is a cry that all of us are going to hear one of these days. Again, it might be tonight. Might be tomorrow. We don't know. Are you ready? Are you watching? You need to be watching. You watch by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing you have to do to become a child of God. And then you continue to be faithful. You don't take time off. You don't go on vacation from your Christianity. You continue to watch and be ready to fight the battle, to stand firm in the faith, to act like men and be strong. That's what we all need to do, because that cry is going to come out one of these days. Now, watch as we head to the end of this. At verse 11, it says, afterwards, the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say unto you, I do not know you. Then verse 13, watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour. That's true of each and every one of us. If we read more in chapter 24, we discover that not even the Son himself knows when he's coming back. Only the Father. We just don't know. So we have to watch. Are you watching? We need to be alert. The devil will try to distract us. He wants you to become materialistic. He wants you to fill your minds with material things and set your affections on things below. He doesn't want you to put on the armor of God. He wants you to be vulnerable so that he can attack. We need to watch. We are indeed in warfare. There's no question about that. Paul used that language in 1 Corinthians 16 at verse 13 because he recognized that we are soldiers in the army of Christ and the enemy is coming. Not if, but when he attacks. Are you watching? I hope that we are. You're subject to the invitation of Christ. Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel, so you're not ready. But you can change that tonight. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. John 8, at verse 24, Jesus said, if you don't do that, you will die in your sin. You can repent. Jesus said that if you don't repent, you shall perish. Luke chapter 13 at verse 3. You can this very night confess the Lord Jesus. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. He didn't confess a bunch of sins or give a religious testimony. He confessed that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. You can do that tonight. If you're in an undone condition, you can be baptized. Mark 16 at verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The very first thing you have to do to be ready and to be in a situation where you are watching is to obey the gospel. Then you need to continue to be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and at verse 10. Are you watching? If not, do something about that. Begin watching this very night. Obey the gospel as we together stand and sing.